Wednesday night, I was spending some time here. Trevor and I were hanging out, but then Mike asked us to kind of help with the youth group a little bit, and we did this thing where we did it's called the Homie Hangouts. So the kids, you get like three or four of the kids, and you kind of come together, and you're just talking about life, and you ask them questions, and see how school's going, and all that kind of stuff, and it was pretty interesting, and we're just talking about where we're at, or, you know, where they were at, and then they were asking me some questions, and I told them that, you know, have your parents ever said to you, don't hang out with those kids? And they're like, yeah, and I said, well, I was those kids. So we were talking about that a little bit, and it just made me think about that this morning. One of the things that made me one of those kids, it didn't make me, I was highly involved in being that kind of kid, but we moved a lot when I was a kid. And it had some negative effects on me, on my ability to relate to people. And in fact, to give you a little context, so the house that Nancy and I are in right now, we moved in when I was 23 years old. We've been there 29 years, so been there a long time. But before that, up until that point, I had moved at least 35 times. So that's like a lot. So by the 23 years old, 35 times, that's just moving all the time. And the longest place that I can remember that I stayed was in this little town in southern Alberta. It was called Tabor, and those were my high school years. And even then, though, I think by that time, I had gotten really good at not really connecting with people, because if I did, that would mean I'm just going to leave in like 6 months. So, like, why connect? Why buy into any relationships? Because I'm just going to leave. And it just makes it easier to leave when you know, that you don't get too close to anybody. And so one of the downsides of that is that it really kept me from really understanding what it means to belong to a place or to belong to people, to belong to somebody else, because I just never felt that. I never felt like, you know, these are my people. I never was able to really say that in a way that was actually meaningful. So I didn't understand what it meant to belong. When you're a child, a lot of times you build these safety mechanisms, and this is kind of what I did. And obviously, at the time, I didn't know I was doing this. But looking back, I was building a safety mechanism to keep myself from being hurt. And those safety mechanisms we build as a child oftentimes don't serve us well as adults. We translate that into being an adult, and it just doesn't work very well. What we need to do is find healing for those and move past those and learn how to grow out of those so that we can truly relate to people and interact in a healthy way. And it kind of manifests, too, in the fact that with my family being such a nomad-type family, moving all the time, that I wasn't even that close with my family. I couldn't even really say, I mean, we loved each other and stuff, but it was a pretty loose connection with my family. When we lived in Tabor, my dad finally moved. He took my brother and moved. He was going to move again, and I'm like, I'm out. See you later. So they left, and when I graduated from high school, this is how tight our family was. There was nobody even in the province that was part of my family. So it was just me. And all of that together made me feel like I'm a kid who just doesn't belong. I don't belong to anyone or anywhere. And it wasn't necessarily like this heavy burden on me, because I think part of what I had done is I had been so content, and I think I'd done it so well of detaching from everybody, that I just didn't really feel. So I didn't really feel the deep joy and connection of being with somebody, but I also didn't feel the pain of, you know, being rejected or neglected. I was kind of in that, I call it being in a bubble. It's just really weird. It's just in this, like, this bubble. And that's how I spent a lot of my childhood. And then just out of high school, I met Jesus. And that's when everything really, really started to change. From that moment on, when I gave my life to the Lord and I surrendered to him, he started teaching me what it meant to belong, what it meant to be part of a people and be part of who he is and be part of him and belong to him. And it was interesting because the lessons, they kind of manifest themselves in really weird ways. So one of the things, other than, you know, kind of not being able to relate really well, which I slowly started working out of, but Nancy can attest to this, but every 6 months after we got married, every 6 months, I'd rearrange all the furniture. It's like, in my brain, it was like, okay, it's time to move. So, okay, we're not moving. Let's see here. Yeah, it's on schedule. Okay, we're moving the couches. So I'm serious. It was weird. I'd move the furniture all the time. And so, you know, like husbands oftentimes, you know, you'll be like, I don't want to move the piano. I'm like, hey, let's move the piano. You know, let's move the couches. And it's strange but true. And so I just didn't have that ability to be content to be in one place for very long. Which, another downside of this, and this is going to sound weird coming from a pastor, but when I was first married, what I wanted to do is I wanted to go be a missionary in Russia. So Nancy and I were going to get married, and I wanted to go be a missionary in Russia because I had no desire whatsoever to be a pastor. I was like, ew. You know, why would you want to hang around with the same group of people over a long period of time and deal with their issues? That sounds really lame. But once again, that came from that I didn't know what it meant to really belong. I didn't want to risk that belonging to somebody because I didn't want to get hurt. I just didn't know how to do it. And so the Lord's like, well, guess what you're going to do? And it's been amazing. You know, in Proverbs it says he sets the lonely in families. And he did that with me. I mean, we got a huge family. I got six kids. I got an extended family, a large family, and I have this family here, a church family. I've been here 32 years, 32 years in this church. Haven't been anywhere else. And it's been really, really good. So to look out and see your faces and the people here and just feeling that sense of, like, I belong here. Like, I can say, these are my people. I can say of my family, these are my people. Not only do they look like me, you know, but, you know, I can say that. It's been a wonderful experience to allow the Lord to heal that part of me. But even more so for me has been that understanding that I belong to him, that I belong to Jesus, that he looks at me and he says, he's mine. And that's been sustaining. That's been an amazing feeling to understand what it means to really be able to stand in front of somebody and be completely known. God looks at me and he knows me. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yet he's like, and you're mine. And it's just been awesome and inspiring. It hasn't really been easy all the time. But, you know, there's still times where my wife made a few comments early on. She's like, I kind of feel like if I died that, like, 3 weeks from now, you wouldn't even remember that I existed. So I've got past that. So if she passed away, oh, my gosh. Yeah. But, you know, it's been this process of learning how to belong and how to, you know, to allow myself to be known by people. But it's been really good. Well, today is our last day of our In Christ series. We've been going for several weeks or more than that, been a while, talking about what does it mean to be in Christ. We talked, kind of defined that and said, you know, being in Christ means that we believe, we're in a relationship with Jesus, we've surrendered our lives to him. We've talked about how that affects our life, how it changes how we live. You know, we've said that in Christ, you know, we're saints. We've talked about the fact that we are adopted children. We've talked about the fact that we're fruitful, we're free. You know, we're servants. There's all these aspects of being in Christ that we've gone over. Well, today for our last one, I'd like to look at the fact that in Christ, we belong. We belong to him. So every person on the planet, it's not just me, but I know every person on the planet has a deep desire to belong. We want to be able to be known by somebody, warts and all. I mean, to me, that just sounds really appealing. I didn't understand that as a kid, but now I understand it's really awesome to have a people that you can say, these are my people, or have someone that you can say, this, you know, I belong to this person, that they know me in a way that's intimate. They know all about me, and yet they still want to be around me. And we have that. We have that deep desire in us. We want people to know the real us. And beyond that, you know, you might be sitting here today going, well, you know, I'm an introvert. I don't need a ton of people. Even the most introverted person needs somebody. They need to be known. It's in who we are. Started from the very beginning, actually. God created Adam and Eve. Our first God created Adam, and he looked, and he said, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. And he created Eve. And ever since then, we've been with people. We've been in relationship with people. But even deeper than that is our longing to know God, or to be known by God. Deep within us, God has set eternity in our hearts, and so there's something in us that just longs to be known by him. There's a, I've mentioned him before, he's actually a atheist, agnostic Jew, but his name is Jonathan Haidt, and in his last book I just read, he talks about this God-shaped hole that we all have, and he talks about it from a evolutionary point of view, which is really interesting, but he agrees that we all have this hole in us that can only be filled by something that's just awe and something that's inspiring. And I would go as far as to say we all have that hole in us. We want to be known. Not only do we want to know something that's way beyond us, but we want to be known. We want to know that that thing that's beyond us is awe-inspiring thing beyond us actually knows us, that we're not just insignificant. We want to belong to God. So what does it mean to belong to God? Well, in a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he gives a really clear, like, this is what it means. He states it really well. Like, this is what it means to belong to God and the fact that we do belong to God. He says this, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." 1 Corinthians 6:19. So, the Corinthian church had issues. They had, there's all kinds of sin going on, especially sexual sin. And so the context of what Paul is saying is he's trying to say, this is why sexual sin is really, really not good. This is why it affects you so much. It's because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And not only that, you are not your own. You don't belong to you. When you're in Christ, you belong to God. And so when we do that, or when we understand that, we should be really careful what we do with our bodies. It's not just a willy-nilly thing. We should take care of ourselves because we belong to him. And so earlier in the first sermon that we talked about being in Christ, one of the things about being in Christ is that those who believe, those who have responded to the message of the gospel, and that they, you know, they've been in Christ because of the grace and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that they are sealed. You are marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of the, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but you are also sealed. So out there in the heavenlies, when someone looks at you, it's like God can say, that one's mine. Because you are marked with the Holy Spirit. You are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit when you are in Christ. That was from Ephesians 1:13. But so after his death and resurrection, Jesus went back to sit with the Father. And the Father sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit now dwells in us. So when you are in Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You belong to him, you belong to God, and you are not your own. You are literally marked. You are literally marked. So that you are not your own, what does that mean? Well, it means your mind, your body, your soul, everything that you are doesn't belong to you anymore. It's just simple as that. It's just straightforward. You are not your own. So how does that play out? When I belong to God, how does that play out? Well, because you're not your own, that means your identity is not yours. That means your body is not yours. That means your intellect is his. That means your money is his. That means your time is his. That means your affection is his. That means your possessions are his. That means your relationships are not yours. They belong to him. They are his. Now, that doesn't mean that we're robots. That doesn't mean that God says, okay, you know, you're mine now, I own you, and we go into autopilot and we're... God gives us agency. He gives us the ability to be creative. He gives us the ability to serve him. He gives us the ability to love him and to praise him and to interact with people. He gives us agency. We just don't have control anymore. The fact that we think we're in control is it's a myth. You know, we are not in control. We are not our own. We are not our own. When we're in Christ, we belong to him, and we can do stuff. We have agency, but we don't have control. So that's what it means to be not our own. And it's amazing because the Holy Spirit in us, he gives us the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't just leave us. It's not like, once again, not just like this controlling, you know, we're not like a marionette puppet, you know, but the Holy Spirit comes in and brings life. He comes in, he teaches us, he equips us, he comforts us. You know, he's our advocate. He shapes us. We start thinking more like Christ. Scripture tells us that we have the mind of Christ. When you're in Christ, you have the mind of Christ, and the Word of God starts shaping who we are. And that's because we don't belong to it. When we've given our lives to Jesus, he takes it and he starts doing stuff. He doesn't leave us the way we are. And that's awesome. That's amazing. We start acting like Jesus. We talked about it a couple weeks ago about being fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit start manifesting in your life. The love and joy and peace and kindness and self-control, all those things start manifesting in your life because we're not our own. And the Holy Spirit's moving in us and he's shaping us to make us more like Jesus. And so we start thinking like him. We start acting like him. And we start coming alive. We start really becoming alive. Another great aspect about the fact that we belong to him is, and the fact that we are sealed and we are stamped with the Holy Spirit, is that we can know, we can have confidence that we are loved and wanted by him. We are loved and wanted by God. He didn't just, once again, he just didn't abandon us. It's not about just saving us, but God loves you and God wants you. We can see that by the seal of the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit to teach us these things. And once again, when he looks, he says, that one's mine. See that one over there? She belongs to me. You know, it's a beautiful thing. It's a dynamic relationship that just kind of blows my mind. But what that also means is that when we belong to God, when we are in Christ, we belong to him before anything and anyone else. It doesn't mean we don't have, you know, a belonging with other things. But our primary, who we primarily belong to, our ownership, is God. That means we belong to God before we belong to a nation. We belong to God before we belong to a political party. We belong to God before we belong to the place we work at. We belong to God before we belong to our family. We belong to God before we belong to any individual. Once again, we're all part of families. I belong to a family. I get that. But primarily, we belong to God. He should get the best of who we are. He should get all of who we are, actually. And then in belonging to him, then these other things that we do belong to, there's nothing wrong with belonging to a nation. There's nothing wrong with supporting your nation. There's nothing wrong with being involved in politics or a political party. It's not that, but our primary allegiance and our primary belonging is to God. First and foremost. Now, I'm going to kind of do a little side note here. A big part of belonging to God is also the fact that we belong to each other. We are a family of God, right? We belong to the church. We belong to that. And there's another scripture in Ephesians that Paul talks about, in 1 Corinthians, early on, he says kind of the similar thing to what he was saying here. And I don't have the scripture, but I'll read it for you. And the reason I'm just kind of doing a little highlight on this is because we're going to go into a series about what it means to be part of the church. And so we're going to talk a lot about this, but today I just want to mention the fact that we belong to Christ, but we also, in that, belong to his body. The other one is 1 Corinthians 3, it says 16 through 17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Very similar to what he had just said, although he said this first. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and together, you are that temple. So together, we belong to God and we belong to each other. And he's building us into his body. We are part of his body. And so we're going to spend some time talking about that. But coming back to we belong to Christ, first and foremost, we belong to him. Now there's another piece of this idea that we belong to God, that we are not our own, that really for me amps it up. It like takes it to like, whoa, this is really important that we understand this. It kind of adds some weight to it. It brings a whole new a clarity to it and deepens what it means by the statement that we are not our own. And that is right after verse 19 and verse 20. So the end of verse 19 says, you are not your own. And then in verse 20, you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So you are not your own. Why are you not your own? Why is that important? You were bought with a price. Now, throughout this series, we've talked a lot on and off about the fact that humanity screwed up. We had perfection. We had a relationship with God. We screwed it up. Sin entered the world. And that just caused a rift. It just wrecked our relationship with God, and it wrecked our relationship with each other. And ever since then, we've been conniving and striving and warring and killing and, you know, cheating and lying and stealing and all of that kind of stuff. We've talked about that a lot. And that we are slaves to sin. Scripture says that. We are slaves to sin and death. And in order to be free from that, there is a price. There is a price for that sin. And that price has to be paid in order for us to be free from it. And we've talked a lot about the fact that we cannot do that. We are incapable of paying that price. But this scripture says you were bought with a price. So somebody paid that price. Somebody paid that amazingly high price. And we know that was Jesus. Jesus was the only one who could pay the price for our sin to set us free. He's the only one who could set us free from sin. He was the only one who could set us free from death. And the price he paid was his crushed body and his shed blood. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I've said that a lot. I think I just feel like I say that every Sunday, and especially the last few weeks since Easter. But I am never, ever going to get tired of saying that. I am never, ever going to get tired of trying to point people to the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the amazing price that he paid. Never. Because it's just amazing. It is absolutely phenomenal. Never take for granted what Jesus did for you. Never take for granted that he came from perfection. He lacked nothing. He's with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and there's a community there, and the three in one, which I don't understand how that works. But he came from perfection. He didn't need to come, but yet he came. And we brutalized him. We crushed him physically. Spiritually, he was crushed for us. He took the sin of all the world, not just your sin, but everybody's sin, all sin, took it on himself. The one who was perfect, the one who was without sin, took it on himself, was crushed for us so that we can be set free. That is a high price. That is just amazing. Never let that like dwindle away into the back burner, you know. Let it be in the forefront of your relationship with him. Let it rise up in you in gratitude and just like, God, you're amazing what you did for me. We talked a little last week about that. You know, you can be having a horrible day and you think, you know what? But God, but Jesus, what he did for me. And it can bring a smile to your face. It can help you carry the weight of maybe a burden that you're going through because of what he did. And it makes me smile to think that I belong to him. He went through that, and I belong to him. He did that for each one of us. That's awesome. And I will never get tired of talking about that. So that leads us to the last part of that scripture, which is a whole other step too, what I think brings more meaning to it. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So after saying all of that, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. We are not our own. We were bought with this amazingly huge, infinite price that Jesus paid. He says, therefore, honor God with your bodies. And by body, that's everything. That's all of who you are. Everything. Once again, your time, your finances, your relationships, your health, your thoughts, everything. Honor God with all of who you are, because we belong to him, and he paid this amazing price for that. That's just so encouraging to me. That's just phenomenal. I love dwelling on that. In Christ, we are not our own. In Christ, we belong to him. The scripture, it's just so simple. It's just two verses. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom God gave you? Therefore, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Honor God with your body. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him. And it's a beautiful place to be. It's a life-giving place to be. It is a place that I think about, you know, way back when I was first, you know, thinking about what I was going to do, you know, being the missionary and heading off, and I didn't want to be a pastor, and because once again, I didn't understand that belonging. I would not change any of it. It is such a joy to be part of the body of Christ. It is such a joy to belong to my Heavenly Father. All of the wounds of the past, you know, that He's able to work and heal in me. You know, there's still stuff. I'm still a work in progress. There's still stuff. I still get grumpy. I still do stupid stuff. I still sin. But He's so patient and kind, because this time He's like, you're mine. I love that. And it's really helpful, too, if you go through those times in your life where you're like, maybe you don't feel like you belong to anybody. Maybe you don't feel like you're worth anything. Maybe you don't feel like, you know, excuse me, that you belong here. But you belong. That's when you need to say to those lies, no, I belong. I am in Christ, and I belong to the Creator of the universe. There was a huge price paid for my life. And let that encourage you. Let that strengthen your inner man, your inner person, to say that I belong to Him, and He wants me, He loves me, and He can empower me. That is a beautiful thing. We're going to take some time here. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I like doing this. We're going to meditate. Is Liz around? Oh, there she is right there. Hi, Liz. So there's a song that she's going to do for us, and it's called Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And I remember... part of that moving around all the time, after my mom passed away, my dad a lot of times couldn't afford to keep us with him. So he would stick us in these homes. He'd like find places for us to live. And they're always Christian homes, which is really kind of cool. But now, at the time, I was like, oh, I got to go to church again. You know, creepy Christian people. But I remember distinctly, I don't know, I still remember this song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Because there's one of it that says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. And this is the part that I was like, that's weird. That makes me white as snow. It's like, how does blood, as a kid, I'm visualizing it. I'm like, you know, like a massacre. You know when like a blood hits snow, or when it gets like it gets wet? Like if you get a cut while you're like swimming or something or whatever, and it just looks like way more than it is. That's what I was picturing. I was just picturing this big field of snow just covered in blood, and I'm like, ew. But now I know. I know that what He's saying is that His shed blood cleanses me of my sin. He washes away those stains so that I can be white as snow. And I just think that is such an amazing way of thinking about it. I belong to Him because of the price He paid. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we're going to have a few minutes to allow you to, you can stand up, you can sing, you can sit, you can, whatever you'd like to do. But whatever you do, take this moment to reflect on the fact that you belong to Him. When you're in Christ, you belong to Him. And if you're not sure what that means, if you're not sure if you belong to Christ, I would love to have a conversation with you about that. This is what it means to belong to Christ. I would love to share with you about the goodness of God and talk about it. And if you've been walking with Jesus for a long, long time, just take this moment and just renew your joy and your thankfulness in the fact that you belong to Him, that you were not your own, and meditate on the price that was paid. So once again, you can stand up, you can sit down, you can just be, you can just listen. We'll just give you this opportunity just to spend however you like to encounter Jesus, and we'll wrap up when we're done. So, Father, we come before You this moment. We thank You for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the amazing price that You paid to set us free from sin and death. And in this moment, God, I pray You would reveal Your grace and Your love to us in a new and deeper way. Father, I thank You for who You are. Jesus, I thank You for what You've done. Holy Spirit, I thank You for what You are doing and that You are here with us. We give our attention to You in this moment. Let's worship together.
Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this, I see nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I plead, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus, nothing but the blood of
just pray that you go and have a blessed week this week, and hope to see you next Sunday.